Please turn with me to Psalm 71. This evening we come to Psalm 71 in our series through the Psalms. This is actually going to be part one of our consideration, our two-part consideration of Psalm 71. Hear God's word. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I've been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed. With scorn and disgrace may they be covered who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day. For their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, for my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You have done great things, O God. Who is like you? You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you. My soul also, which you have redeemed. And my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long, for they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. Spurgeon, in his book, The Treasury of David, which is essentially his commentary on the Psalms, he introduces Psalm 71 with these words. We have here the prayer of the aged believer, who in holy confidence of faith, strengthened by a long and remarkable experience, pleads against his enemies and asks further blessings for himself. Anticipating a gracious reply, he promises to magnify the Lord exceedingly. End quote. And there are certainly different approaches that could be taken to this particular word of God, and rather than go through this psalm in order, verse by verse or section by section, I'm actually going to take the approach that was used by the late Reformed preacher James Montgomery Boyce, who treated this psalm under four subjects. First of all, old age and its problems. Second, how the past looks from the perspective of old age. Three, the future in terms of what is yet to be done. And fourth, which we'll consider next time, praise from one who has lived long enough to have observed God's faithful ways. So we begin with old age and its problems. A discerning man once said, is quoted as saying, old age stinks. And I've never heard of someone looking forward to old age. Old age means our bodies and minds are weaker. Many older folks have chronic pain or other conditions which slow them down and hinder them from doing things they like. Which is what is especially sad about how in old age is how in our society, the old are brushed off to the side as essentially second-rate citizens. In many cultures of the world, the older members of society are actually put in the front and center, and they are revered and they are honored. They are viewed as valuable sources of wisdom. But in our society, it is the youth who are typically front and center. We hear our young people being described as the hope of the future. In our society, the norm is parents and grandparents whose apparent mission in life is to make their children's lives as pleasant and comfortable and enjoyable as possible. In other words, adults exist for the sake of children. And children have learned the lesson well. Self-centered children and young people are not only believe they are capable of knowing what is best for themselves, they insist on it. They've even adopted the prideful notion that they are in this unique position to solve problems which are the fault of adults. What folly it is to seek wisdom from children. Meanwhile, the older people of our society, who often have the wisdom of years and experience, are brushed aside as nobodies. And while, yes, in some parts of the world the old are honored, there are still problems and difficulties that naturally come with age, no matter how respected you may be. One of the obvious problems of old age is weakness, which means not being able to do the things that you once could. David writes in verse 9, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent." John Wesley, the father of Methodism, lived to be 88 years old, and he kept a diary, and this is what he wrote for June 28, 1789. He said, "This day I enter on my 86th year. I now find I grow old. My sight is decayed so that I cannot read a small print unless in a strong light. Two, my strength is decayed so that I walk much slower than I did some years since. Third, my memory of names, whether of persons or places, is decayed till I stop a little to recollect them." End quote. I've heard in the course of conversations with some of you how already you can recognize that you are getting older as you become forgetful, as you become stiff, as you become tired. I was once visiting with a friend who is close to me in age, and he said, kind of out of the blue, "You know, we're getting old." And I thought, "What? Not us. We're only in our 50s. But of course, it's true. For all of us, each day is one step closer to the grave. What I hear from older people is the difficulty of accepting old age when it finally catches up with you and hinders your ability to be active. I can recall visits that I had back in South Dakota with an older gentleman in the church. It just bothered him deeply to not be able to mow his own lawn or to rake his leaves. He was like in his 90s and wanted to be able to get up in a tree and with a chainsaw cut limbs off. And he struggled with why he was here if he couldn't do much of anything. And this is a common struggle of old age. And I think we all know others who feel that exact way. I can remember my grandfather when he was at that point in his life. Those who get old, they can't work like they used to. In some cases, they're confined to their homes or confined to a wheelchair or the nursing home. And they struggle with a sense of worth. Why am I here? What good am I? What purpose do I have? And part of the problem is that we have adopted some of the world's values concerning what makes a person valuable. To the world, a valuable person is the one who can work hard and make a lot of money. The world says that what you can contribute to society determines your worth. Physical beauty is also extremely important to the world. A never-relenting craze seems to be people wanting to get a makeover, to buy the latest fashion in fashions in clothes, to get fit, to lose weight. Why? In order to look and feel young again, right? What happens then when you reach the age where there is no doubt that your skin is wrinkled and your body is wearing out? What happens when you can no longer work, at least at the level that you used to? And if your personal worth is tied up in these external things, then you are going to have an identity crisis in your old age. It is not easy to overcome this perspective because we don't think naturally about human worth. Think biblically about human worth, and also because the world only feeds our unbiblical ideas. See, the Bible teaches that our worth as human beings lies in our being made in the image of God. That's why an older person is just as valuable as a young baby. Why a mentally challenged, handicapped, or disfigured person is just as valuable as a young, handsome athlete. What is important to God is not our looks, not even necessarily what we can accomplish with our bodies. What the Lord is looking for is faithfulness. And as those grateful for his grace, he does want us to use our time and abilities, whatever they may be, to his glory as best we can. Think of Johnny Erickson Tada, who, ever since she was a teenager, was confined to a wheelchair. And the world would say, she can't amount to much. And in the world, according to the world's perspective, that's probably true. Even Christians can easily think the same way about someone like Johnny Erickson Tada. What can she do for the Lord? And actually, she's done a lot. She's been a great spokesman for God's sovereign grace. She has devoted her life to making Christ known. She's written books. She continues to speak at conferences and on the radio. She's been a powerful witness for Jesus Christ. It's fundamentally no different for those who are older. You can't do many of the things that you used to do, but there is always something that you can do for the Lord, even if it is only to pray for other Christians in the Lord's work. Actually, there is something that the psalm specifically refers to that is an important task for older people to undertake, and we'll consider this task in a few moments when we come to that part of the outline. But meanwhile, the psalmist struggles, as many older people do, with his relationship with God. I would direct your attention to verse 9, to the fact that what the psalmist seems to fear is that God will cast him off or forsake him in his old age. Now, we know that older people fear that society will do this to them. Probably the greatest fear of older people is that they will find themselves in a nursing home all alone, left there to die because their family has cast them off. And we might think that something like this is what the psalmist is talking about here in verse 9, but he's actually addressing these words to God. And it's important to understand the spiritual struggle that's reflected in these words. The psalmist thinks that because of his old age, God wants nothing to do with him. God, do not cast me off. God, do not forsake me. I think we need to wrestle. Why is he thinking like this? What would account for perhaps you struggling with feeling this very same way someday? Is it not because we naturally think that our relationship with God is based upon our performance? We tend to think that God loves us because of what we can do for him and his kingdom. We forget that our worth is not based upon what we can do for God. Our worth is based, first of all, upon the fact that we're made in the image of God, but this is even not where we put our hope for acceptance by God, because the image of God in fallen man, from a spiritual point of view, is lost. There still remains in man, yes, remnants of God's image. From a natural point of view, man has a soul. He is a rational, moral being. He has the ability to think rationally and morally. God has made man. And even in his fallen state, he reflects something of God's glory. At the same time, a holy God cannot have fellowship with those who are in spiritual darkness, those who have rejected his lordship, those who are no longer righteous. Which means that ultimately our acceptance with God can only be through a gracious work whereby he restores his image. It's really the image of Christ in us. And so it is that Scripture teaches, yes, we are precious in God's sight because of our union with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are loved by God because he has chosen in his grace to love us. And it really doesn't matter to God what you are like physically or how active you are, but what makes you and I attractive to God is the reflection of himself that he sees in us as he molds us into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. And if you have repented of your sin, if you're trusting Christ, you can be sure that, yes, your sins are forgiven. You have been adopted by the Father. You are his dear children. And when he looks at you, he sees his Son in you. And what you must never forget is that this relationship with God doesn't change. It doesn't suddenly change because your body is failing. You may wonder why God would want you, but that's only your pride speaking. That still wants, your pride wants you to think that God has chosen you because of something special about you or because of what you can do for him. But remember, your relationship with God has always been one of grace. It doesn't matter to God if you are weak and failing. And the opposite is also true. You can be a young person with great ability and strength. And if you do not have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you do not have a living relationship with the Lord built on faith in Christ, you do not impress God. You're not attractive to him. No matter who you think you are, if you die without Christ, you will be cast away and you will be forsaken over to the punishment of your sins in hell. The problem of old age is not only weakness of body and the accompanying identity crisis, but old age is also difficult because the problems of life do not go away with the passing of time. And furthermore, diminished strength means that the problems of life actually seem more difficult to deal with. You and I know how problems can seem much worse than they really are depending upon how we are feeling physically. You know what I'm talking about? If you're feeling tired, if you're enduring chronic pain, the challenges of life can seem more like crises. David faced many enemies in his youth, and this did not change as he got older. Verse 10, "For my enemies speak concerning me, those who watch for my life consult together." And I can imagine how difficult it is to be patient and to maintain a positive attitude when the struggles of life continue year after year after year after year. And it seems that there is this notion floating around that just the opposite is the norm. The picture that I am thinking about that I have in my mind is that which is painted by the world, which is that people retire from their work at age 65 or perhaps even earlier, and they've accumulated a large fortune, and then for the next 20 to 30 years, they just live it up, doing those things that they previously only dreamed about doing. But what is the more realistic picture? Health problems, financial struggles, family problems, including the grief of having to bury their own children, grandparents in some cases having to raise their grandchildren because of family problems, losing a spouse, living alone. Which brings us to the third thing that bothered the psalmist about growing old, the reality that as he grew older, he had fewer people to help him, fewer people who took an interest in him. You can imagine how as a young king at the height of his physical and mental strength, people were in awe of him, more than ready to do anything he asked. But now, according to verse 11, his enemies attempt to demoralize him by pointing out how he is alone. Notice beginning with verse 10 to bring in some context. "For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together, saying, 'God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him.'" Now, God has not forsaken him. But it's true that often with old age does come loneliness. And if you are older, many of your friends and co-workers have passed on. People that you could rely upon for counsel and help are not around anymore. And then there is the problem, as we've already mentioned, of how in our society many older people are cast aside. And if you are lonely, you know what it means for minutes to seem like hours and hours like days. And the ongoing problems in our lives until the day we die, the fact that when we most need help, we find ourselves alone. These are powerful reminders of the fact that we never stop needing God. Though friends may fail us, thankfully God is always there. And the struggles of old age are a confirmation of what God has always told us in his word. And what has he told us? That first of all, the things of this world do not satisfy. It isn't going to happen that suddenly one day the struggles of life are going to end and finally you're going to experience heaven on earth. And second, you can't rely on man to meet your needs. People fail us. People die. Other people do not have the ability to make you happy. Other people cannot provide the deepest needs of your soul. Only God can do that. God is the only one who can keep his promise to be with you and to love you forever. And third, life is knowing God in a relationship of trust. There never comes a time when you will not need to trust God. And by God's grace, older Christians are wiser and are more sanctified than their younger brothers and sisters in Christ. And yet, even so, they still need Christ. They still need his blood to cover their sins. They remain right with God only because of their union with Christ through faith. Till the day we die, all of us will need God's grace and deliverance. And the struggles of old age only confirm this. Which brings us to the second main subject of this psalm, which is how the past looks from the perspective of old age. See, older Christians have the unique privilege of being able to see God's faithfulness as it has been revealed, as it has revealed itself again and again over time. It's certainly the perspective of the writer of the psalm, who, by the way, I am speaking of as David, though it's important to point out we don't know for sure. Certainly there are things here that would fit with David and his life and his experience. And this is perhaps David, probably David. And David certainly had his struggles. And so far what has been said in this psalm, we might, you know, on a scale say that things so far have been on the negative side. And yet the psalmist here, I'm going to say David, but the psalmist is not writing about old age here as a bitter pessimist. Notice he's not. He is honest, yes, about his struggles, but this psalm is more than that. It is about the glorious things that he has learned from the past. And he tells us several things about his past relationship with the Lord. First, he tells us that he has known God for a long time. He says from his youth and even before that. Notice verses 5 and 6. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. Also notice verse 17. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So the psalmist here was a covenant child, if this is not David... David probably had the same experience described here of knowing God as a Savior as far back as he can remember. The psalmist understands that God had a plan for him that began to work itself out from the very beginning of his life. God was there when he first came into the world, sustaining him as an infant. God was working in his life to bring him to salvation at an early age. This is the way that God is often pleased to work, thankfully. This is what Scripture means by covenant families, where God is often pleased to elect the children of believers. Faithful parents raise their children in the church and instruct them in God's word. And in many cases, these children come to know the Lord in what seems to be a gradual process because they cannot give a date for their salvation. And perhaps you are one of these who can't say when you became a Christian. Perhaps there was a dramatic conversion in your life. Certainly God works in different ways. But the important thing is to know where you are today. Are you a Christian today? Are you a Christian right now at this moment? Do you repent of your sin daily? Do you daily trust Christ? Have you repented of your sin today and looked to Christ as your Savior today? And as the psalmist reflects on his life, he is one who was saved at an early age, and he's glad about that. He's had the privilege of being able to look back over a lifetime and see how God has cared for him. And so from this point of view, old age is not a negative thing at all. Old age is a means by which you can know God more intimately. And those who have lived many years with the Lord have many experiences that they can recall which confirm and strengthen their faith. This doesn't mean that the psalmist only remembers good times. As the writer of this psalm looked back over his life, he makes the statement of verse 7, I have been as a portent to many. And this idea of being a portent or a wonder, perhaps your version says, can be taken in a good sense or a bad sense. And the main idea is that when people think about the psalmist, they marvel. Well, how might this be true? Well, it could be that they marvel at all of the psalmist's trials and tribulations. Again, if we think of David, his life was in many ways one of great suffering. And so people may be thinking of David and marveling as they pondered, who has suffered as much as David? They're wondering about that. On the other hand, it could be that people are marveling, they're wondering at how God has protected him. Their marveling takes the form of people saying, look at how God has blessed David. Consider all of the close calls that he has had and dangerous enemies from which God has given protection. And I think that the marveling may very well be these two things together. The marvel or wonder is how many times God delivered the psalmist from some humanly impossible situations. And isn't it true that the more difficult our lives are, the more of an opportunity it becomes for God to demonstrate his power and his protection and his love? And if you are an older Christian, your life has involved a lot of deep struggles, and you know more than others what it means when the psalmist says there in the second half of verse 7 and into verse 8, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. The Christian who praises God the most is the one who has gone through difficult times and knows from experience that God has been there and blessed him. And what the older person has, therefore, is an experience of God that can be of great encouragement to the next generation who are just beginning their spiritual journey, which brings us to the third main subject this evening, which is to consider the future and what you can do with your time that is left. Earlier, I was talking about how older people who have grown weak wonder what they can do. And I mentioned that there is a task suggested here in this psalm. Older people have the important task of testifying to the next generation of what God has done for them. Notice verses 17 and 18. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Having experienced God's faithfulness through the years puts you in a unique position to tell others about your God. And older people, you understand, can and should have a tremendous influence on the next generation, not only in the lives of their children, but grandchildren, even great-grandchildren. Of course, we must not neglect to mention that older people can potentially be a tremendous influence for bad. If older people live out their lives complaining and murmuring against God for the difficulties of old age, that actually is going to turn people away from God. And young people may seem like they're not paying attention, but they watch older people. And it means a lot to see mom or dad, grandpa or grandma, facing old age and death with trust in God. It means a lot to hear it from someone who has lived their life to say that material things really don't satisfy, but Christ does. There's more to be said about this psalm on another date, but for tonight, consider whether or not you have that biblical perspective on your life like the psalmist that says, I want to help others in their spiritual walk. I want to be a positive influence for Christ on those around me. I want to be a source of biblical wisdom. I want to be a source of encouragement for others. This perspective will be yours if you have a growing love for Christ. You personally know him as your Savior from sin, and your love for him is growing. You want others to know of that love. And so may each of you grow in your own understanding of God's great grace, a grace blessing you as weak and unworthy as you are. You know, ultimately, when you're old, it's just more of an awareness of how weak and unworthy you are. The fact is, all of us, no matter what age, are weak and unworthy. But knowing all that God has done for you should orient your lives to please him, no matter what your age may be. Amen. Let us pray. God and Father, we thank you for this psalm and this reminder, a tough reminder of the difficulties of old age, the struggles of old age, the realities of life in this fallen world. And yet, Father, we thank you for the hope that is also presented here of how we are still loved by you, that our weak bodies, failing minds, our growing older doesn't at all in any way diminish your love for us. It changes the things that we can do, but Father, we pray that we would be faithful to you in our old age, that we would not be living lives characterized by complaining and murmuring, seeking the things of this world for happiness, but Father, may we testify to your work in our lives, testifying to your grace, testifying to Christ and to the satisfying life that he provides. May we be a great witness to the generation to come. And Father, we know that your plan may not be for all of us to experience old age, but we know, Lord, that however you have numbered our days, we are here to serve you, and we pray that we may do so more faithfully than we have up to this point. And again, Father, we thank you that our status with you doesn't depend upon our performance, but that you, what you are looking for is faithfulness. And Father, we want to be faithful. We want to serve you, for we are thankful for all that you have done for us in Christ. So help us, we pray, in these things. Forgive us for our failures. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.